Tim Keller, welcome. And please begin with your opening statement of up to 2 minutes, and then go directly into your advanced question, which was, how can you help with encampments in our area? Please begin.
Sure, Will. Good evening. Great to see folks. I know we're not in person, but of course, I've been to this neighborhood several times in the past. Or with the Wiscana folks in our many discussions. And so, you know, I would begin by stating that, you know, it was just 4 years ago when voters elected me and they essentially trusted me to lead our city. And who would have thought it would be one of the toughest four-year stretches in the history of the Duke City? But our leadership has demonstrated a deep commitment to trying to address root causes and to bring a foundation together to fight crime, to address homelessness, and deal with job insecurity, and also climate change. Now, we said we wouldn't shy away from doing things simultaneously. So I know it can be easy to focus on our number one issue, which is crime, or our number two issue, which is homelessness. But I think real leadership in the Duke City takes a mayor who can do all of those at the same time. And we've kept that commitment. We've respected the magnitude of these challenges by addressing them from all sides. We've got the big decisions right. We've built a critical foundation to lift us up. Now, last year, and really the last 18 months, we saw a crisis like no other. And I also know that during the pandemic, we made decisions that saved lives and livelihoods. And that was critical, given what we had to do, $300 million in infrastructure projects, including a lot of roads out on the west side like Ladera. It also meant doing things like rolling out $30 million of small business grants to help businesses from closing forever. It also meant taking care of 10,000 kids who are the children of essential workers and had nowhere else to go while their parents had to go to work. That's what we did during the pandemic. Now today, I'm determined to lead our city to
recovery. Sorry, sir, 10 seconds warning.
Okay, so that means dealing with the revolving door. That means homelessness, which we'll talk about in just a second. And it also means the thousands of good paying jobs that we brought to the Duke City, making sure those all come online. So when it comes to homelessness, for us, it's all about connecting the biggest gap in the system. So if you think about all the unsheltered that we're facing in Albuquerque, all the folks dealing with this issue, we know that they all need different things and we have to sort of meet them where they're at. Some of them need addiction treatment. Some of them need mental health treatment. Some of them need job training. Some of them just need a hotel voucher. Some of them need supportive housing. And so what's missing is there is nowhere right now in Albuquerque to go that is open 24/7 to actually get those services. There are lots of places 9 to 5 actually during the week. And this is the nexus of the reason why we have to have the Gateway Center. And most of you know, we voted on this 2 years ago, and now we've bought the old Loveless so we can actually do this. It'll be a clearinghouse where folks can actually go in either of their own volition or our various city outreach folks can take them to, where they can get treatment, where they can get detox, where they can get a housing voucher, where they can get job training. But in the meantime, they have a place to sleep and they have a shower and they have a meal and they're off the street. Until we get this Gateway Center built, I don't think we're going to see a change in homelessness. That's why it's so important. That's why I need another 4 years to make sure we see that through. Lastly, I would just say that we believe in, at the same time, continuing our commitment to housing. We built 400 units, 500 units actually, in our last 4 years, and we have funded another 500 units. It's $500 million in investments in supportive and affordable housing. And so that's a wonderful thing for our city, and we have to keep that up as well. And lastly, our new community safety department is critical. It's a department that sends a social worker to a call, for example, for a behavioral health issue or a down and out issue, so that it doesn't take away from APD's call volume. And it also means we can get people the right help at the right time, including taking them to the Gateway Center. So you can see how these issues work together and why it's so important that I can follow through on them in the next 4 years.
Thank you. Do you think more police added to the force would help with crime in Albuquerque?
So, you know, when I came into office, we had had several years of a police department that was essentially gutted. It had very few specialty units. It had a homicide unit that had like 4 people in it. And overall officers were the lowest we'd seen in a decade. When I came in, I was able to bring 100 new officers every year. And we've had some retirements. And so our challenge is that we still need to hire more officers to deliver basic services. And I think that's a reality that we just have to call it like it is. And the good news is in 2 weeks, I'm graduating 50 new officers. They're going to be out on the street. We have more lined up. But I think to your question, yes, because first off, we don't even have enough officers to cover low-level calls right now. And we also know that we're in a situation where, whether it's the fact that I tripled the size of the homicide unit, it still needs more detectives. And we also need domestic violence detectives. We also need to refill the gang unit. We also have to have things like even community outreach. And the fact that my administration put in place for the first time in several years, bike cops, including out on the west side, all of those take resources. And so even our family outreach programs take resources. And so we desperately need them and we're going to keep fighting for them. And I think that reaches across the judicial system, even diversion, our diversion programs. We started the first diversion program in APD, but it still requires budget and it still requires resources. And that's why we still need to increase the size of the department. Now we are reimagining policing, as I mentioned, with our community safety department. Check out the Washington Post article that just came out yesterday on this. It shows that we are the most innovative city in America when it comes to reimagining policing.
Thank you. So this is a good one. Why does the city repair sidewalks on some streets in residential areas and require homeowners to repair sidewalks on other streets?
Sure. The answer typically, it depends on the cause of the damage. So if the cause of the damage is like roots from a tree on private property, then it's a responsibility of the homeowner. But if it has to do with flooding and drainage or even ADA compliance, then it's the burden of the city. And so that's been that way for quite some time. And, you know, it's always frustrating if you're a homeowner and you have to fix your sidewalk, but it should be correlated to the cause of the cracking and so forth in the sidewalk. And so that's generally how that should work.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy to speak to encampments a little bit. That wasn't in the previous question, but, you know, we have a backlog in our city of dealing with the encampments. We know they're in every city in America. And actually, if you go to another town and come back, whether it's Denver or Austin or Phoenix or LA, you know, I think we see that, wow, like we have our challenges, but it's nothing like those cities. And it's because we do outreach. We do it the right way. We take care of those encampments and we enforce the appropriate ordinances, but we do it in a way that, one, follows the rule of law and respects several federal court cases on how you should do this. But two, it's focused on getting people the help they need. But eventually we do not allow camping. And so we do enforce that, but we do it in the right way. We do it in conjunction with a lot of different partners to try and help people. Now the challenge has been, we continue to build the number of folks to approach that issue. And there again is why we are so supportive of this community safety department, because they're part of the way we can help deal with encampments in the right way, but also not tax resources at APD or at the fire department. We're sending social workers, and then they're connecting people at the Gateway Center. That's the future for having less encampments and less unsheltered in Albuquerque.
Thank you very much.